Viruses are little understood. There's even some debate in the scientific community about whether they should be thought of as living organisms. They take on life only when they inhabit a cell, and the recent discovery of a novel virus inhabiting algae in Kaneohe Bay can tell us much about how they work. Christopher Schwartz is a UH Manoa oceanography graduate student who led the TET-V1 project as part of his doctoral dissertation. We spoke with him earlier this morning.
This was a virus that was isolated from Kaneohe Bay. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it's a very large virus, and it has genes in it that it encodes that make it different from any virus that we've seen before. Particularly, it encodes genes related to sort of energy production, fermentation, that are typically associated with cellular organisms. Mm-hmm. And this is a pathway that cells use to create energy from sugars when there isn't oxygen available.
You were telling me that viruses aren't necessarily considered to be a life form?
Exactly. Viruses don't need to actively use energy to maintain themselves like cells do. Mm-hmm. In the ocean, these viruses are simply floating through the environment, not actively doing anything until they encounter the host, at which point they hijack the machinery of the host in order to replicate themselves.
Which is what a virus that causes illness does.
Yes.
Inhabit the body's cells and make us sick?
Exactly. But in the ocean, they actually have an important role other than just being detrimental to the organisms they infect. They help to maintain diversity in the ocean.
How so?
So organisms that start to outcompete other species and start to dominate, it sort of creates a scenario where these viruses can more efficiently spread through that population. Mm-hmm. So the viruses act to kill the winner, keeping these otherwise dominant organisms in check so that other species have a chance to thrive as well, which increases the number of species that can actually coexist in a particular environment.
Is the fact that this virus was found in Kaneohe Bay related to the fact that Kaneohe Bay has had its troubles with an imbalance of algae?
I think there's probably a thriving viral community in Kaneohe because it's a nutrient-rich ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of life, a lot of algae that grow due to the high amount of nutrients. So it has become a great place to look for new viruses that are affecting these microbial populations.
How advanced is our understanding of viruses and what they do, what they are?
We're continually learning more about viruses, particularly these giant viruses, which is sort of a term that can be used to describe this virus. We used to consider viruses as being extremely small, much smaller than cellular organisms. But over the past 15 years, we continue to discover viruses that rival the size of bacteria and encode many more genes, allowing viruses to manipulate their hosts in new ways and utilizing different functions than we would typically associate with viruses.
So this is the discussion you were telling me about whether or not they're actually life forms. Once they inhabit a cell, that the nature of that cell changes.
Yes.
And they start acting, do the viruses start acting as if they were alive, or does that make the cell, I mean, it changes the cell, right?
Yeah, they essentially hijack the machinery of the cell and start to create their own proteins related to making new viruses. And in some cases, they need to perhaps supplement the energy production within the cell. For example, this new virus with these fermentation genes may be trying to keep energy flow up high enough to ensure successful replication. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they pretty much take over the cell in order to achieve that goal of making more of themselves. And then they burst the cell and are released again into the environment.
That process you just described sounded as if it might have some beneficial applications.
Yes. It's also important for sort of how it affects how food and nutrients move in the ocean, too. For example, these organisms are being fed upon by larger organisms with that energy moving up the food chain. Mm-hmm. But when viruses infect them, they burst open, releasing organic matter that is then fed on by bacteria and decomposed. So it's sort of a part of nutrient cycling in the ocean as well.
Sounds like an essential part.
Yes.
Generating the motion, as it were.
Yeah, that released organic matter definitely supports a whole suite of other organisms specialized mm-hmm. in decomposing organisms in the ocean.
How did you go about isolating this virus, making this discovery in the first place?
So this was part of a rather large effort where I basically grew many different types of phytoplankton from Kaneohe Bay. And then it was a matter of trying to find viruses that infect them. And this was done by collecting seawater that was then concentrated. So concentrating all of the viruses exist in a sample of seawater in Kaneohe, and then spiking some into these cultures and seeing, do any of these cultures show signs of infection?
Mm-hmm.
And then if we see signs, we can sort of follow up and then determine whether or not there's a virus there, and then from that stage start to study that virus further.
Sounds as if a process that could be replicated in other areas to make further discoveries. Is that right?
Exactly, yeah. It's still the main way that we isolate and find new viruses.
When you describe it as an unusually large virus, it's still microscopic, right?
Exactly. Unusually large compared to your average virus in the ocean. And you can sort of relate it to perhaps the width of a human hair. So your average virus, you would need 1,000 of those to span the width of a human hair.
Uh-huh.
And then this virus is 5 times bigger. But there are also larger viruses than this one that have been discovered that are more similar in size to bacterial cells.
They're earning themselves the name of giant viruses.
Exactly. But sort of one of the constraints as far as size goes for viruses is that they can't be larger than the host cell that they infect.
Mm-hmm.
As they replicate, they can only make as many progeny that still fit within that host cell.
Sounds as if there's a great deal more to be discovered in this pathway that you're on.
Exactly. And that's part of what sort of fueled my PhD research was that through new genetic techniques, we've revealed that there's extraordinarily high amount of diversity of viruses in the ocean. But we don't really have any information to go with them other than those gene sequences. So this is sort of an effort to identify what those viruses actually are and who they're infecting so that we can tie that environmental data to the role of these viruses in that environment.
But we do understand that it's an essential role.
Exactly, yeah, and essential for understanding what controls the populations of these very important microbes in the ocean.
Christopher Schwartz is a UH Mono oceanography graduate student who led the TET-V1 project as part of his doctoral dissertation. You can learn more about it on our Facebook page.